I'm Christy Hemingway, host of Ed Curation, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another great episode of My EdTech Life. Thank you so much for joining me on this wonderful Tuesday, or it may be well into Wednesday, depending on where you're joining us from around the world. But wherever it is, thank you so much, as always, for making My EdTech Life what it is today. And as always, thank you so much for all the likes, the shares, the follows. Thank you to all our new subscribers. On YouTube, as you know, our mission is to get to 1,000 subscribers, and you've been very helpful in getting us close to our mission. So really appreciate all of that support as well. So thank you so much. And again, I am really excited about today because, as you know, this is what I love to do, bring you some outstanding guests, outstanding conversations. And as always, today and tonight, I should say, is no different than any other night. And so today we have an amazing guest who is a co-founder of an amazing company called Parent Protect. And I am excited for you to learn more about the company. But before we learn more about the company, I definitely want you to learn more about our amazing guest who is joining us, Mr. Brock Murphy, who is a co-founder of the company. Brock, how are you doing this evening?
Good, good. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to have you. I'm so thankful for the connection that we've made. Thank you so much for finding us on socials, like you said, and reaching out to us. As you know, we're always looking for some great content and great conversations overall. And of course, most importantly, some wonderful connections. And so thank you so much for connecting. And now that you're here, I'm definitely excited to talk about what Parent Protect is all about. But before we do that, Brock, we all know every superhero has an origin story. And we all know that you definitely have an origin story. So what I would love for you to do is just share just a little bit about your story, you know, coming up and, of course, being a co-founder of Parent Protect, just so our audience members can definitely know you a little bit more and really make that connection with you.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I kind of have a unique background. Started out on a ranch. So I was really blessed to get the opportunity to grow up on a ranch where we had American quarter horses. And I started my first entrepreneurial endeavor was raising Texas Longhorn cattle. Despite all of that, I made the decision to go to Texas A&M and loved my time in Aggieland. And but really kind of got into the government realm and went on. Went towards that route and spent time on Capitol Hill and then at the White House for a little bit. And shockingly, kind of got tired of the polarization that DC had, who would have thought, and made my way down to Brownsville, Texas. So grateful for our RGV connection and spent some time at SpaceX, learned a lot and loved my time there. I worked on the Starship rocket and early 2021 kept being approached by parents and teachers and administrators with questions that they had about technology. And a lot of those questions were around the social media platforms that their kids were on, the gaming consoles they were playing, moms wondering who the heck their children are talking to while they're playing Roblox or Fortnite or whatever it might be. And also, I saw the impact that this tech realm, kind of unbridled tech access, was having on the education system. How kids learn, attention spans being shorter, all of this. And so, launched Parent Protect out of the realization that that there's that disconnect between what people hope they know about the platforms that everybody's on and surrounded by, and what they can actually be used for.
Excellent. Well, that is a great story. I mean, from quarter horses to Longhorns, going to A&M, and then coming down to the 956 to our area here in Brownsville and working on space or working at SpaceX. So can I ask you a little bit, what exactly were your duties as you worked at SpaceX?
So definitely more on like the government side. Had the opportunity to work under a man named Sam Patel and learned a ton from him. He was kind of, he led the Brownsville site for SpaceX, and a mix of like government affairs, project management, kind of doing whatever I could to help the mission.
Nice. Excellent. Now, you mentioned, okay, so now you're at SpaceX, but you also mentioned that you would have parents that would come and talk to you a little bit more about, hey, what's going on online, you know, some digital citizenship kind of things. How can I protect my, you know, my children with what's going on? How did those conversations come about? Did it start off with family members asking, maybe because you had that tech background, or, you know, tell me a little bit about that.
Definitely. No. So it definitely was a mix of family members. Grew up in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. It's a small town. Went to preschool with my co-founder. And so we've been ingrained in the community down here in Southeast Missouri. And so I think with that small town feel and having the tech background that both my co-founder and I have, definitely just people started reaching out and thought that with my background in tech and kind of hopefully the trust that they had in me, that I would be able to steer them in the right direction.
Oh, that is great. Now, this is interesting. You know, I know Joshua, I just connected with him today on LinkedIn, and he's the other co-founder, but this is interesting that you have known each other since pre-K. So I just want to ask, you know, as before we lead more into ProTech, how does it feel to be able to start something, a work together along with your friend since pre-K?
So actually, different co-founder, Joshua is our creative director, but okay. The co-founder, it's definitely got its ups and downs. Obviously, knowing and being friends with him since preschool, we're pretty much brothers. So as brothers sometimes clash, that can sometimes happen. But at the very end of the day, though, like I have complete trust in his ability. And I'm his biggest cheerleader. And it kind of goes back to one of my favorite quotes that I first heard from Dr. Ben Carson when I was in DC, but it was the rising tide floats all boats. And so I think especially with co-founders, colleagues, you know, got to build each other up and keep pushing towards the mission. And lucky for us, we have, I've got goosebumps just about to talk about it, but lucky for us, we're in a position to really impact the health and safety, wellness of kids all around the country, all around the world.
Excellent. So. And that's something that is so important. And that's something that this subject is really near and dear to me, since working in my district, I've had the opportunity to work alongside our community liaison and, you know, bringing in parents and having Technology Tuesday meetings, and where I really share a lot about digital citizenship and, you know, just the things to be cautious about, giving parents resources both in English and Spanish that they can go ahead and read, and really trying to be that support, because there's only so much that we can do in school, but also teaming up with parents at home. And what better way to team up with them than to have these conversations that sometimes can be very uncomfortable. And that's the thing that I would always tell parents. You know, some of the things that we're going to talk about can be very uncomfortable, because you may think, well, this will never be happen to my son. My daughter will never do this. They're too young. They, you know, I'm always watching them. But, you know, when I share resources with them and I share articles and I'll share videos with them, they kind of get shocked. And even themselves, you know, kind of get shocked, like, ooh, like I've done that before and things of that sort. And so this is definitely something that is right up my alley. And I'm really excited to learn more about this. So, Brock, tell me a little bit more. Like you said, you started the company. It all started with people asking you for that support. With the background that you have, how can I help my child? So I'm guessing that that being the pivotal moment for you and the inception of Parent ProTech, tell us a little bit about how your mission aligns with the current needs that families have and educators have right now during our digital age.
I mean, we align perfectly, and we say it every single day. Our mission at the very end of the day is if we can help prevent one kid from being cyberbullied, or help prevent one kid from being trafficked, or help prevent one kid from getting their hands on that fentanyl-laced pill, then we've won. And so, like I said a little bit earlier, it's a mission that we feel everyone is a part of. It takes everyone in the community to build this safer environment. And that's part of one of the dangers of the online world is it's not like it used to be when, you know, you only could talk to people in your school, in your community. I mean, I touched base with one of my best friends in Paris, but from Lebanon all the time. And so with this connectivity comes so much more that you just have to be more diligent of, and definitely just take heart in knowing the gravity of the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really love what you said, you know, because one of the things that I always talk to parents about too is if I can just help, you know, with the resources that I share with you, for you to be able to have a conversation with your child at home, not necessarily here. And many times in our area, you know, the parenting is always like, just give me your phone and you better not be doing this and so on. Instead of really answering the why you need to be very careful. So the mission for me was really to share these resources with parents and having those tough conversations with them so they can go home and be prepared when these things may arise, or just to simply be able to give good counsel to their child and build that trust. Because many times it's very difficult for a child to, you know, come and speak to a parent because they know that they're going to get into some sort of trouble and so on. So my mission, I would tell parents, my mission is that with these resources that I share with you, if we can just get your kid, whether it's your son or your daughter, to just pause for 3 seconds before they click send on whatever it is that they're going to be sending, whether it's something inappropriate, like you mentioned, maybe a bullying message, or maybe some sort of inappropriate pictures, inappropriate content, whatever it may be, you know, then we've done our work where they kind of realize like, whoa, this has long-term consequences and so on. So Brock, tell us a little bit more about Parent ProTech and the resources that you have available to help educate our student body and the resources that are available to that parents may have or be able to get their hands on to as well.
Yes. And so I think you hit the nail on the head about the conversations and the importance of, you know, if you're a child, I mean, reports came out that the average age that a kid views pornography is 12 years old. But in our independent research, we're seeing that number is closer to 8 years old. And also, I mean, reports from the U.S. Surgeon General on kids who spend over 3 hours on social media a day face double the risk of depression and anxiety than kids who don't. And the other stat that I think is really crazy is FBI reports say there are over 500,000 online active predators each day. And so we definitely have to have these conversations in school, at home, to make sure that kids realize what's out there. Because I know when I was in high school, I had this view that everybody's good. Everybody wants what's best for me. No one's going to take advantage of me. Why would people do that? And it's kind of that tough realization, especially for a parent, to kind of have that conversation, but better to have it than not and risk what that unknown is. And so with that, Parent ProTech, we really built a platform where we work to empower parents, educators, students in safely navigating technology, but also taking advantage of all of the amazing opportunities that this tech realm has for us. And we kind of have four areas that we've been focusing on, one of which being kind of an on-demand library for parents to turn to when they need help understanding AI or streaming platforms or social media or gaming consoles. And so I'll show really quick just a little peek at our parent library, course library that we've built. And so bear with me really quick.
Yeah, that would be excellent. So parents can see and, you know, all of us can see what it is that you'd have available, because that's the most important part, the availability of resources that can be very helpful. All right. So tell us what we're seeing here, Brock.
Yeah. So this is our on-demand library. Think Netflix or Apple TV Plus, just on-demand, always up to date. We've got content in English and Spanish, working on Arabic next. But we cover trending topics like Roblox. We interviewed a neuroscientist looking at the impact of tech on the brain. As we talked before, we've got all of our AI content helping people understand kind of the good, the bad, the ugly about it. And then we get into more of the social media platforms, streaming platforms, more devices, how to correctly set up iPhone settings if you decide to give your child a phone, or iOS 17 came out, which gives you the ability to blur nudity. So if you give your child the iPhone or the iPad, and you never know what ad's going to pop up when they're playing their game, it's a good thing to add. And then Roblox, we just expanded our team and added a gaming expert who streams all the time. So really excited about that. But just diving in really quick, I just want to show we're all about meeting families where they are on the tech journey. So whether they understand what TikTok is and know how to navigate already, know how to interact with people on it, then they can start in at how do I protect my child's privacy on the platform? And we're trying to step-by-step show families how they can set up a private account, how to hide explicit content, set time restrictions, pair it up with a family account, do all these things. That way the parent can get in, get information, turn that fear into action, and go on with their life. Because we understand that people are busy. You've got a million things on your plate, which thank you again for having me. Parents have a million things on their plate. And so we try to make it really easy for families to get that relevant information and go from there. And
this
so thank you. Thank you. And so this is the foundation of what Parent ProTech was built on. And so as we've continued to go, we've been excited to also add the student curriculum piece, because we believe it's so important that students should also be prepared with the tools they need to navigate this digital world. And so we're covering topics like digital footprint. What you post today could come back and haunt you when you apply to your dream job or medical school. My dad always said, would you want your grandma to see that on a billboard driving through town? And the answer was always no. But shoot, my grandma may have been proud of me for, I'm just kidding. Going over as we approach 2024 election season, deciphering fact from fiction online. Don't believe everything you see on Facebook. Not that kids use Facebook much anymore. Don't believe every TikTok you watch. Ask why. And so we've done a lot more also on like the impact of social media on mental health, just because we truly believe how scary that stat is that the U.S. Surgeon put out. And so really trying to cover these main topics with also built in a way where it's easily received and built in a way where kids actually listen, because we understand attention spans are getting shorter. They don't just want to be lectured about all social media is bad or all tech is bad. And so really trying to kind of come at this with a refreshed point of view.
Oh, and I love it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interject, but really, because before we move any further, I must commend you, because I know that there's plenty of resources that I have shared with parents. And usually, you know, I get a lot of those resources through it's common sense and so on. And you get some, but I love the library that you have built, because it has a purpose to it. Number one, it's easy to digest in the sense that, like you mentioned, parents are very busy. Not to say that we want to just give them just some quick info, but at least they can go in here spend a little bit of time, learn about an app like you mentioned. They may not know about it. And oftentimes is the case that the parents will not know what kind of app their child is on because there is a plethora of apps that are out there. And then students may know how to hide those apps within their phone. And then, of course, then you've got like Snapchat where you can kind of hide things and lock them with passcodes and so on. So there's a lot of things that are out there that parents may not be aware of. So one thing that I love about what I just saw, you having that content library easily helps a parent navigate that space, picks an app, says, okay, let me see, even though I may be against it or maybe I use it myself, but I want my child to be protected. And of course, at the same time, not only are they learning how to protect their child, but also they're learning themselves how to protect themselves because let's get this, you know, out there. The digital fingerprint or digital footprint is not just for our students, but it's also for adults, you know, and we want to make sure that even as adults, we're not putting things out there that are going to tarnish our image or even close doors or possibilities for us to continue to grow professionally. But I know that we definitely want to focus on the student body because, like you mentioned, they're very young. We live in a very connected age, like you mentioned. And I'm going to admit this, growing up myself, I was like still landline. We had the three-way calling and that was it. Like there's nothing that we're going to see. A lot of people may think, oh, you were lucky because they didn't have picture phones back then. I was like, well, maybe because there's nothing that's out there that, you know, can be found that'll get any of us in trouble from our age. But now, oh my goodness, it's everybody's got a camera on their phone. Everybody's got this powerful computer that can be used for good or evil. And many times, Brock, I think, and I'm going to, something that you mentioned resonates with me too, is that although our students have been surrounded or growing up with this kind of technology, I mean, I'm seeing young babies, maybe like 3 years old, navigating through these at shopping centers and they grow up with it. But just because they grow up with it doesn't mean that they know how to use it properly. And oftentimes I find myself listening to a lot of people say, oh, well, they're digital natives. They shouldn't have any problems. It's like they were born with tech, you know, and they're familiar with it, but still doesn't mean that they know how to use it the right way. So I think that your content really offers something very special for parents that I have not seen through any other platforms. And the fact that it's in a centralized location and you have everything from Roblox to TikTok and all the other apps, that is really a game changer. So I really appreciate that. It really is something that is amazing for sure.
Thank you. Thank you. And I would just add, it's kind of, no one would ever give their 12-year-old the keys to the car and be like, go drive. Go drive on the busiest road in town. And you would teach them how to drive. You'd go on the side neighborhoods. You'd be right there with them, holding their hand, giving advice. And I think the same is true and needs to be happening with families and their children with tech.
So absolutely. Absolutely. Now, also, the one thing that I wanted to highlight too that you mentioned is, and it kind of goes and leads into my next question, which is really considering how fast technology moves, how do you keep up with everything that is out there? And I mean, the fact that you have stuff already for AI, you know, how to navigate that space, but also like you mentioned Roblox and bringing on a gamer, somebody that is out there that is familiar with some of the things that, you know, maybe people out there in the gaming space without good intentions are out there. And like you said, you know, I think you, what did you mention? You said 500,000 or was it 50,000?
500,000
online. 500,000 online predators that are out there. And just the fact that you have somebody that is an experienced gamer and has probably seen or heard a lot of that, you know, chatter that happens and so on. But just to bring them and to bring that to light to parents, that is also great. So tell me a little bit more about that. You know, how far ahead do you look? You know, how do you prepare? Because you know, what's in today is old news in a week, and now something else comes out. How do y'all stay abreast of everything that is out there?
And I'd say that's one of the biggest parts of what we have to do at ProTech is, and is one of the reasons why I believe that it's important to have the subject matter experts that are playing the games every day, or the marketing gurus who are on these platforms every day. And so we've got the subject matter experts. We've got our team every Monday has a weekly review of all of the platforms to make sure no major changes have been added, no features have been added that could be harmful. And I mean, the other thing I'd mention is like we went up to the Apple corporate office in Chicago a few weeks ago, and we were able to present more about our work, our partnerships with schools like IDEA Public Schools in the Valley, and some of the insights that we're gaining through that. But I say that just to say that we're trying to, we have a door that's always able to be open with these tech companies that are building products that kids are going to be using or that families are going to be using, and always happy to give our feedback on kind of features that they may want to think a little bit more on before they launch it. And so definitely trying to have that open communication with platforms as much as we can. And I will say some of these platforms will listen, but will they actually, they'll join the meeting, but will they actually listen? That's another question. But like Apple has been, awesome, really awesome to work with. And to just get time with their team and soak up all that knowledge has been really, really awesome. So
that is great. You know, and that's so good to hear that, you know, the fact that you have that open communication and building those relationships. And like you said, it's true. There are people that will have a seat at the table, but once they leave that table, you know, it's up to them at their own discretion what they want to do, whether they want to follow through or not, or just, you know, at least show face that they're thinking that they are. But at least you have that. And I think, like we were talking about earlier, you know, at least you're having those talks, you're, you know, planting that seed. And maybe in the near future, you know, then those things can change. But at least there is that influence there, you know, similar to myself, you know, sharing something with a parent, you know, it may not land right away with the student, but as the parent continues to share those resources or something that they learn, eventually, you know, there might be a change in habits or a change in behavior in a positive way. But sometimes it does take some time, but hopefully it does happen sooner than later. So that's great. So Brock, now I know that you do a lot of work down here in the Rio Grande Valley, and I know you worked with IDEA Public Schools, and you know, I know that you mentioned another school that or institution that you were connecting with earlier this week, or actually earlier today. So I want to ask you, you know, how has Parent ProTech been able to expand the platform from where you're at home base now down here to Texas? And if you can tell us a little bit more of where you're currently expanding into, that way our audience members who may be listening that might be in those areas can maybe reach out to you and say, hey, we're in this area and we'd love to partner up or learn some more.
No, and so right now we're really heavy in Texas, Louisiana, Illinois, Missouri, Florida, and we've got a few schools in New York that are signing on, but we're really excited because we have the opportunity to work with just about over 150 schools today, and so. Having only launched the company in 2021, I feel like we've come a long way, and I've come across some of the most inspiring educators that again, it gives me goosebumps thinking that there are such good people raising up the next generation and teaching the next generation, and had the opportunity to meet with a lot of families through these schools that are begging for information. And really, I saw a stat that over 52% of families are nervous and overwhelmed managing the role of technology in their child's life. And so would love to have a Google Meet or a Zoom, whatever works, in-person meetings with anyone that's interested in learning more about how we actually work with a school. Just would love the opportunity to continue pushing the mission of keeping kids safe.
That's great. Well, I'm excited about that. You know, like you said, you're right here in my neck of the woods, and I'm really excited that this wonderful platform is making its way down here. And again, it's a very important area, and it's a growing area too as well. So I want to ask also, just because me being from this area and understanding that, you know, the dominant language here would be Spanish for the most part, are your resources available in other languages?
Yes. So our first priority on the translating side has been Spanish. So we've got a Spanish team, Joshua on the team, our creative director. He's put together a really awesome Spanish translation team because all of our content, we have a personality, either me, Joshua, a couple other people. And so we've got the same that we've built out on the Spanish side. And it looks like the next language that we'll be working on will be Arabic. Definitely trying to push as much information out to families and have that accessibility piece. But especially with having lived in Brownsville for a little bit and with the traction we have down there right now, the importance of getting Spanish pushed out the door has been a major priority.
Nice. Now, Brock, tell us a little bit now with the school districts that you currently work with that you're, you know, part of their curriculum or, you know, part of their day to day. You know, can you share maybe any success stories, maybe, you know, if any educators or parents have reached out to you? I would love to hear some of that because, again, you know, doing this also down here in a different way than you, it's always great when we get those parents that come back and say, hey, you know, I had that talk with my child, or hey, I was able to learn this and so on. So I would love to hear if, you know, you have any of those stories, whether it be from an educator, a parent, or a student as well.
Absolutely. Well, and I've got two that I just came to mind. One of which, and I didn't mention earlier, but in addition to our work, the library, the curriculum, we've got a newsletter that goes out every other week. And then we try to do either in-person or virtual presentations to families at the school, kind of as a way to like rally people around, kind of call them to action on the importance of being more aware and engaged and kind of what's out there. And we got a lot of support from a couple of district attorneys in Texas, Cameron County District Attorney as well, being one of those. And so, I mean, every presentation we do, parents are shocked by the stats that I went through earlier. And also shocked at some of the quotes that we put up on slides, which one of which is from one of the co-founders of Snapchat, who said in an interview, the reason why he created the platform was because he wanted to send pictures to girls that would then disappear. And so it's no surprise to me that one of the biggest platforms with issues impacting our kids today is Snapchat, that was created with ill intent. But one of my favorite stories that we've had so far was only a month and a half ago, where one of our school leaders reached out about if we could help meet one-on-one with a parent who had a child who was kind of struggling with technology, a healthy relationship with technology, and she just needed help with navigating that at-home personal tech journey. And so we hopped on a Zoom with her, and I think we had scheduled 30 minutes, but we went an hour and a half or almost 2 hours with her, and we saw that she had tried putting parental controls on the iPhone, the iPad, but somehow he had gotten the password to bypass everything. But we quickly found out that he was accessing platforms like OnlyFans and other was in a inappropriate kind of texts with sexually text with random people from around the world. I say that just because the names the parent didn't even recognize. And so she had no idea that these were platforms that were pornographic in nature. And so we were able to kind of help her understand what those were, but also understand how she can close that gap and make sure that her young child isn't talking to people that they shouldn't, and how she needs to protect that password as much as she can. But then here are a couple tools and some of our favorite resources that we like to push out to, like Sphero robots. If your son loves to code, let's get him doing things for good. If he loves spending time with technology, then let's push that passion for other places where he can learn how to code better. And found out, we also met with that child and found out he had a love of SpaceX. And so I got to talk rockets with him and Raptor engines, Merlin engines, all of that. And so definitely, I think I love that story just because we were in the lowest moment of a child with technology, but then we were able to kind of pivot that and look at all of the good that technology can bring. Just have to be careful with what you look at, who you talk with, and what you surround yourself with.
Nice. That is great advice. And that's definitely a great story. And it's so important, like you said, because that's all it really takes sometimes, Brock, just being able to, as a parent, have that resource available that when you do see, you know, just maybe a change in behavior, you know, maybe isolation, things of that sort. I always tell my parents that I work with, I say, look, you know, a lot of times you may think, oh, well, it's because they're in that age. They're at that adolescent age and they isolate themselves and so on. I said, you don't know that. And you're not, you know, it could be very different. And especially if they're isolated for long periods of time with technology, whether it's their iPad and so on. And it's interesting, you know, being an educator myself, you know, actually not in the classroom for the last 7 years. However, when I was in the classroom as a sixth grade teacher, students coming in, like, oh, yeah, you know, we were on WhatsApp till like 4 a.m. and on the iPads and this and that. I didn't know until then that I was like, wow, there are some serious problems that are happening here, you know, that can occur, because at that time, nothing good can happen, you know, during those times, and especially parents being asleep and then, of course, students on devices and so on. And you did notice a change, a lot of attitudes, and then little groups of friends and cliques, you know, one day they're together, the next day they're disbanded. But they're so open about it. It's like, oh yeah, we were on this and this and this, like no regard, like not a care in the world. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, now, like you mentioned this, that, you know, that for this child, you know, all it takes sometimes is just having that conversation, and as difficult as it may be, either for a parent, you know, but also to have that support. Like I mentioned, just, you know, your video library, and then be able to, you know, change that attention to this bad part of technology and change it for good. You know, that's wonderful. And that's all it takes sometimes. But obviously, Parent Pro Tech offering resources, that's definitely a huge plus and a bonus. So I really appreciate that. Now, I want to ask you, before we kind of start wrapping up, just a couple more questions. And what is it that you see as far as your long-term vision for Parent Pro Tech? You know, as the technology landscape continues to change so rapidly, where do you see yourself going, you know, maybe within the next 6 months to a year as you continue on your mission?
So one of the major things we're starting to work on is more like the personalization piece. So based off of like the grade that your student is in, being able to tailor the most important information that family should watch and kind of dive into. Also taking into account like what type of device they have. Do they have an Xbox? Do they have a Nintendo Switch? Kind of really diving into that personalization piece. And I think with that, we're able to protect the time of our users, of our parents, of our educators. And so definitely want to continue pushing along that route. And then we kind of just want to continue being that one-stop shop for families to go to when they need help with when they realize their son has an addiction to TikTok, won't quit doing TikTok dances, and they hop on, watch the content, put restrictions in place, move on, until they realize their daughter has an issue with Snapchat, and then they hop on, watch, act, move on. So definitely want to continue being that kind of go-to spot for families, and then really expanding on the curriculum piece too, because we believe that, I mean, tech isn't going anywhere. You and I beforehand talked about the amount of AI tools now that are out there. And so there's going to be more social media platforms that pop up, more AI platforms that pop up, more gaming consoles that pop up, and games with those gaming consoles that pop up. And so we'll just have to continue to push hard and stay up to date and keep getting that feedback from families and educators too, to make it better and better.
Nice. I love it. Well, that's great. And I'm really excited about that mission. And like you said, you know, that personalization piece, very important, you know, just because, again, just tailoring those videos and that content for specific age levels. And I even love what you said, you know, even for the gaming console that they may be using and things of that sort, that's definitely something that's very important. And I love that you have a vision for that, you know, thinking outside the box, because many times there may be some platforms that are out there that may offer resources, but it's only just, you know, for one thing specifically, or just an overarching kind of, you know, platform that offers resources, like I said, to have those conversations. But here, I mean, you're getting specific and granular to certain platforms. And that is so important, because that really allows parents to be well-versed in one, two, or even more than two platforms, so they know what is going on, they know how to stay informed, and they know how to have those conversations with the students. And I think that that is of great value. And like I said, you know, I haven't seen anything like that yet until today. So I'm thankful that you were here on the show and, you know, being a guest and sharing your mission and your vision and your passion that you have with sharing and providing digital citizenship resources that can help transform, you know, our education system, transform our students, and really help our parents just kind of transform that environment at home. So I applaud your work, and I just wish you the best as you continue doing this, because like I said, I'm really excited about it.
Thank you. No, and I'm sure we'll have many, many more conversations around it, especially with your experiences and your own discussions with students and families and other educators.
Absolutely. Well, Brock, thank you so much for being here and being a guest. Like I said, this was a great conversation. You're definitely speaking my language, and this is one of the things that I am most passionate about, which is helping parents providing them with resources that can help them. And this is definitely a platform that is worth sharing and worth, you know, putting out there, you know, for school districts to know about, parents to know about, students to know about. So I'm really excited, like I said, that you're making your way in here into Texas and in this area too as well, starting off in Brownsville. And now, like you mentioned, you know, you spoke to an institution or school here in the McAllen area, which is very close by. So that's always good news. So you're definitely doing something right. So that is wonderful. So I appreciate that. But before we go, Brock, I know I always end the show with the following three questions. I put them there in the calendar invite, you know, and these are the kind of like that signature closing question. So hopefully you're ready for those. And we'll kind of change this first one up maybe just a little bit, maybe because I know usually it's like edu kryptonite, but we'll do it to maybe, I guess, I don't know, maybe something more pro-techy, like maybe, I guess, your digital citizenship kryptonite, I guess. We'll change it to that. So as we know, all right, every superhero has a weakness, and Superman's weakness was that kryptonite. It just weakened him. It was his pain point. So in the current state of, I guess I will say, still in education, what would you say your current, digital citizenship kryptonite, what would you say is your current digital citizenship kryptonite?
Okay, now that's a tough one. You're switching up on me. I'd say one of the hardest things that I see is just that with the digital realm is, and specifically with parents, is the impact of like peer pressure along with it, and kind of these binds that it puts a family in, where if so-and-so's parents let them have it, then you need to let me have it too. Or, you know what I mean? It just puts that pressure on the parent. And we understand that we're in a day where, you know, if you don't have a text chain with blue text, iMessages, kids sometimes bully others because of that. And so I think the peer pressure piece is probably my biggest fear, and I think is where we see a lot of the issues around public safety, student safety right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100% that peer pressure. You're absolutely right. That is definitely one of the biggest things that we definitely talk about, you know, just that influence, that outside influence, and how powerful that can be, and how almost impossible it may feel to overcome, especially because that's your clique, that's your group you're trying to fit in. And yeah, it's definitely a great point. So thank you for sharing that, Brock. All right, question number two. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
So I'd say don't use your phone as a weapon and set a good example. And so one of our partners with ProTech is a foundation called Buckets Over Bullying. And Rose Bronstein has become a friend of our team. And that's one of her quotes, like, don't use your phone as a weapon, because her son was cyberbullied and bullied, and to the point where he took his own life. And so we just see the weight of people think they can send a text and no one's going to care and move on with their life. But our words do have consequences. And then the latter half of that answer, I think, is, I don't know if my dad realizes how much I am aware of everything he does. And so which is great, but, think we have to set good examples for parents, and educators need to set good examples, be good role models around tech with the students around them, with their kids around them, because they pick up a lot more than we probably realize.
Absolutely. That is such a great billboard. Don't use your phone as a weapon. That is powerful. So I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that. And the last question, Brock, is if you had to author a book starting tomorrow, what would your book be about?
I would say I think I would try to keep it around the importance of teamwork, and kind of goes back to that rising tide floats all boats, but the importance of like building people around you, building that like personal board of directors that you can always turn to, building that group of professionals that you can always turn to. And so kind of all around mentorship and teamwork, and kind of building the people up around you, and the importance of having those people that can tell you no from time to time, or not afraid to tell you what you don't want to hear. And so the importance of that mentorship in life.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, Brock. I really appreciate your answers. I appreciate your time spent here with me today. And like I said, I'm definitely very excited about your work that you're doing. And again, this is such a great platform, and it's so good to see that there's a team out there, you and your team, that are putting these videos together, some amazing resources for parents to watch, and that can be all part of a school district. So I beg of you, all my educator friends, all those decision makers that are out there, please make sure that you check out ParentProtect. I promise you it's definitely going to be worth your time and definitely worth your efforts in getting this into your school, because like I said, I haven't seen anything like it at all whatsoever. And that is a wonderful resource for your parents and your students and your educators as well. So please make sure you check them out. And again, guys, thank you so much, as always, for making My EdTech part of your day. Thank you so much for joining us for this wonderful conversation. And please make sure that you stop by our website at myedtech.life, where you can check out this amazing episode and the other 254 wonderful episodes, where you can find creators, educators, education practitioners, entrepreneurs, founders, co-founders. I promise you, you will find something just for you, where you can take some knowledge nuggets from and sprinkle them onto what you are already doing great. So please make sure you visit our website at myedtech.life, myedtech.life. And if you haven't done so yet, please jump over to our YouTube channel, give us a thumbs up, subscribe. We're on a mission to get to 1,000 subscribers. So I would be very thankful to you for being part of our YouTube family as well. And if you haven't done so yet, please make sure you follow us on all socials at MyEdTechLife. We definitely appreciate it. Connect with me, send me a DM. You know, I'm always available to just for a chat. So again, just reach out at any time. So thank you guys for all of your support. And my friends, until next time, don't forget, stay techie.